me back out.
Selectmen's meeting, April 25th, 2018.
Enough of that.
Four 59.
We'll give it a minute.
Good girl.
Just because you put them in your pocket doesn't mean we didn't see them.
Do you have any idea when they got that deer carcass out of there? On Hunkins Pond Road? Okay, I called Saturday and I came across it while I was coming over here, over this way Saturday, and I called the dispatcher. But it was still there Sunday night when I went by.
I wouldn't have known anything about that.
Okay.
Hand grenade would have.
I thought you might have heard, because I called Chief Hankins first.
It's 5 o'clock, can I have everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comments?
Nobody.
No public comments. Moving on to business, recreation coordinator, department update and budget transfer request.
Yeah, I have a request.
Alright.
I want to move some money out of soccer into training. For training.
Did we talk about this at the last meeting?
I think we talked about it, but we can't do.
Just briefly.
Yeah, we can't do it there. It has to come at this table. Just that we need to move stuff to cover it.
So is that an implicit transfer from? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really change anything. You just know that.
The bottom line doesn't change. It just.
Just so you know, I'm.
Auditing purposes.
Yeah, it's just internal transfer.
Yeah, and Peggy checked it.
So you're looking for $220 to move from. From soccer to training?
Yeah, I need it.
So I will make a motion that we do an implicit transfer, authorize an implicit transfer from account number 4520.614, soccer equipment, to 4520.830 for training for the recreation.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
Now can you say that backwards?
Probably today, not.
The other thing, I just get ahead of I have a staff member leaving at the end of the summer, but she has given me her resignation, so I'm going to need to post that position. But she's going to work till the end of the summer.
August 10th.
Yeah. No, she put out, yeah.
She said it's effective August 10th.
August, yeah, that's the last day of camp. She's done. Then I have another staff member, unfortunately, who is going to change her status at the end of camp or at like a week after to per diem if I need her. And that's my other girl that I will need to post for. She's going to stay. She'll come back the following summer. If we got in a bind, she's available, she'll come help us.
Do we have a date? Just says end of summer.
Well, I don't because, yeah. I mean,
well, summer day camp, don't you have it from a certain date to a certain date?
We do, but she might come the week after because she helps with a lot of stuff. We can put 8/31, the end of August. Or that.
Approximately.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to keep her on because she will come back the following, you know. She's wonderful.
So, should we accept this resignation effective August 10th of 2018?
I make a motion that we accept the resignation of Haley Serini.
Mm-hmm.
Effective 8/10/18.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Abstaining? Motion carries. That'll go into the file later. And then... So this would be a change of status for Lindsay. So at the end of the summer camp, as of approximately August 31st, 2018.
Okay, we need a motion for this?
Yeah.
Okay, I would make a motion that we change the status of Lindsay Wagner to employee at the end of, wait a minute, what is she going to?
Per diem. Hmm?
And so at the end of summer camp, Lindsay will be going to per diem status as of approximately August 31st.
At the end of the summer camp, Lindsay will be going to a per diem status employee as of approximately 8/31/18.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
I am going to have to get ready and do a posting for those two positions.
Okay. Julie, do you want a copy of this?
I'm going to sign this one.
No, I don't need it. I mean, it's all here. The other thing I did is I've done all my PAFs for starting July. Figure, just so you know, next month in May, you're going to get a request. I'm going to be off for 2 weeks. I have a wedding to get done. So I'm going to be busy. So I thought I'd do all of these ahead of time. And when you're ready to review PAFs, this is all their new rates for everybody in the department. I went through them all.
Okay. So do we need to do these now, or did you want us to do them then?
You don't. The only one, if you're going to do them, I don't know when you're going to do them. I have the PAF in there for Karen to come back to clean Hermit Beach, and the PAF for Anna to come back to be the guard. And I just went through and put everybody in their rates.
Karen was...
She did not change her
rate. She's not a new hire. She's...
She worked last summer, and you guys have already...
Seasonal,
and you said you already... You already said you were going to hire her, so... I just thought I'd get all these in.
So should we just check on... We have a part-time. Should we check other and add seasonal to that so that we know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that one.
And Anna would be seasonal. Those are the only two I think you need to act upon tonight. The others are not till July, well, the start of the new pay period in fiscal year.
Are those increases for...
Yep, that were in the my budget. Yep, everything that was
approved
in
the
budget. Yep, and they're all grade step and all that stuff.
Have you done performance reviews since they're tied to performance reviews?
I have not.
So the board will probably need to wait to act on that until you...
Okay, so the only one you...
Effective July 1st.
Yeah, the only one we have to do is Karen and Anna.
So do we... When is your time off?
May. The second and third week, I think. I'm going to write it up for you.
Okay, so since these don't take effect until July 1st, do you want to take them back and do the performance reviews...
Okay.
And make the notations on
the only one who might have to start before July would be the two people for the beaches, but that can come back to you. And I don't need to come back for them. I can submit them when I have.
Right.
I don't have.
Well, they wouldn't take effect until July 1st, anyways.
No, I have money in my budget for them this year because they start in June.
Okay, so those, if those say effective July 1st, you would need a different PAF for those.
And they don't. I don't think that. And we're returning it as a lifeguard. I can put a date for her.
Yeah.
I'll fix. All right. I'll go over those.
So if you fix the two that are starting for the beginning of summer.
Okay. I can do that.
That would have it correct in the
all
file.
Right. So I think. And I'll send you a note about vacation.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Now you want department update?
Sure.
So before and after school, you know, is always busy. And I've been giving you numbers. So in January... the average daily attendance for both programs was 47 kids a day. February was 41, March was 45, and April was 43. And just to explain the fluctuation, if the school does like an after-school homework club, we lose kids, but then they come in after. So program's doing very well. So there's no issue there except we're going to need staff. summer day camp flyers out. We've had a lot of signups. New field trip this year, we're going to Stone Zoo in Massachusetts. So we'll see how that's going to be a long day.
Oh,
and we're going to go to Whale's Tail and Clark's Trading Post and Crazy Kids and all that stuff. I'm going to go down to Odeon Point. Yoga's every Tuesday and Friday morning at the library at 10. And that's going to continue and probably till the end of May. Because once it really gets warm, they stop coming as much.
Right.
You know, people get busy. Adult volleyball is ending in probably, I think he said, first week in June. And pickleball will be ending probably the second or third week in June.
And then that starts back up in the
starts
fall.
Back up in the fall. Yeah, we can't be in the, well, we're in there for the summer.
Right.
We went to the flower show on the 15th. It was a good trip. We had a nice van full. Thank you for approving the town hall because we got sewing classes. The kids had a great time last week. Very nice ladies up there volunteering. They made pillowcases. We only had four kids. They're all coming back tomorrow to do it again. So hopefully, and tomorrow we have a new one joining. So hopefully that spreads, so we'll get more kids doing that. And I've had adults ask for sewing classes.
It's not a bad thing.
No, we get, but I just got to see, you know, I got to get some more volunteers for that. And the ones we have did a nice job. So it would be wonderful to have a space that we could have that set up so we could do more activities like that. Swimming lessons are starting July 9th. They'll go through the 19th, Monday through Thursday at Winnesquam. And if I have enough kids, we'll add another hour on. Right now, we're doing 3 hours. And if it's good, if it works, we'll add another hour in.
So just at the Winnesquam?
Yeah. And Swim New Hampshire teaches that.
Okay.
So they did a nice job last year. And like it.
Can I get the dates again? July?
Well, it would be July 19th. July 9th, so it's 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. And then it will be, what's the night? Anyways, it's Monday through Thursday. And if they need to make it up, a class up because of weather, they'll make it up on the Friday of that week. And all that stuff is on the website. Not particularly probably correct because I'm still on a learning curve on the website. Oh, it's a little challenging.
But everyone's having that challenging thing, trying to find things.
Every time I sign on, it says my password's wrong, even though I write it down.
Well, you know what I did? That happened to me when they first sent up the email for the selectmen. So every time I went on, I had to go get back out of it and go back in. So
yeah, I have a new password every time. So I have a whole list. So.
Of possibilities. It's got to be one of these.
We are looking for a commission member. Heather Goodwin has told us she resigned. She's not going to re-up, so we do have an opening. That's posted on the website. It's posted. I don't know if it's all in the right places, but it's on ours. And it's on somewhere else where it says vacancies is an opening.
Okay.
And I put it on my Facebook page, the rec Facebook page. I already have people who said they're coming, so we'll see how many show up. Bike safety is this Sunday, 1 to 3 at Samerton Central. Chief Hankard got some helmets and then got some more. The Samerton Prouty team, Hope in Motion, is going to teach the kids how hand signals and that stuff. And we're going to give out the helmets. We're going to help them fit them. I am going to make them fill out a waiver because I'm not certified to teach, put on helmets.
So when we used to have an officer that was certified.
We don't, he said.
Okay.
So, but they're coming up and some other people are going to do bike safety for the kids. So hopefully we have a nice turnout and hopefully it's nice weather. So I think I got everything.
Do you have anything else for Julie?
We appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. I'll get these back to you.
Perfect.
And go from there.
Thank you.
Have a nice night.
Yes, you too. Thank you. Okay. Planning Board Legal Services Request.
So in your packet, you'll see there's an email from the Planning Board Recording Secretary where you may recall a while back there was an announcement that their firm, Gardner Fulton and Wall. Bernie Wall is their attorney that they use regularly, but he's retired. And so they're planning to move forward with Christine Fillmore from the same firm. But they're looking for permission from the board, since it affects the budget, to utilize Christine Fillmore to attend a meeting of theirs coming up. I believe in reference to questions about the solar ordinance. And so they're looking for select board approval to have her coming to an upcoming planning board meeting.
So do they know approximately how long and what, how much they're going to need? Because we'd have to approve it out of our legal line, right?
Correct. All I know is what's in the email here. It doesn't say an approximate time, but...
Okay, I can talk more to that because we talked about that at the planning board meeting. They wanted to come up for one meeting because they have a series of questions that they want to get clarification on as to what they can do, where they can go, how they can handle this. And they want to do it face-to-face because it's going to, the series of questions is probably going to lead to more questions, which rather than having a back and forth like this, it will be all done in one session. So it's going to be one night for probably about an hour or hour and a half. And they want to discuss site plan procedures concerning solar and possibly talk about this what's going on with the solar farm and what other what other things, such as what's been bantered back and forth with this greenhouse. Not specifically using that greenhouse, but how far they can go with what they've got written as far as controlling that.
Okay, so I would have two comments. I don't see a problem with the need for clarification because there's been a lot of questions that have been posed that no one really has the answer for, even though the solar ordinance was written by the attorney. So I don't have a problem with them doing the consult for that. But as far as any questions regarding a solar garden, is it on the docket? Do they have an application before the board?
No, and it's not.
And does
it's not a solar garden they want to talk about. They want to talk about what, how far they can go with the solar ordinance that they have written, that was approved at the last town meeting.
Well, usually the planning board hires their own attorney for planning mm-hmm. issues.
Right, but yeah, they don't have a legal line, so we have to approve yeah. it to come out of the legal line for the yeah. that's in the administrative budget.
And they had been using Bernie Wall, but Bernie Wall retired.
But there's still people in his office that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's
yes. This gal is coming from Bernie Wall's office.
The other thing
office.
Is that at some point, probably irrelevant right now, but at some point we're going to have a discussion about who's going to be our town council.
Yeah, they put that out for a bid.
At some point.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, but Bernie Warr is retiring, but he has people in his office that are going to carry on the yeah. law firm's business.
Right? He's not retiring. He has retired.
But he has people in the office
yes.
that have the expertise.
And this lady is one that he
and
recommended.
Land use planning. Okay.
This lady is one that from right. his office that he recommended right. because she handles. And there's nothing specific. There's no specific case in town that they're going to talk about. They generally want to know how to approach things and how far they can go with what's written for the town.
How to apply that ordinance that was adopted at the last town meeting to
yes.
a site plan if one is so put before the board.
Yep.
I don't have any problem with John's recommending that. I support.
Yeah, up
John?
I would say up to at least 2 hours.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you an hour and a half, you never know. I mean, so the planning board meetings go for how long?
They've been running anywhere from an hour and a half to 2.5, 3 hours. Mostly it's an hour, it's between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
Right, but if it's an item on their agenda, so it would take up, you know, a couple hours, so up to 2 hours.
They want to do that during a workshop so that they're not discussing a case during that time, but it'll be, it's...
Well, that would make sense.
The workshop is when they discuss their ordinances and things like that. So they want to have her come.
I was the interim planner, I know how that works.
Yes, I know.
John, you made your case.
I'm just, for the record, I'm just setting things straight.
So, would you like a motion?
Yeah, you may want to, she may charge for travel, so maybe up to 2 hours at the actual meeting.
So up to 2 hours.
And any related costs.
2 hours of meeting time. And travel. Or did you want to put meeting time and additional expenses?
Maybe additional expenses, if necessary.
Do we want it not to exceed, or just, is that good enough?
I don't know what they bill her out as for her hourly rate, so you might not want to get that specific.
Right, well, because everyone's different. We don't need to put what it's for, just for the solar. Do we want to add that in there or no?
For
the purpose of?
The attorney, attending their meeting per their request, which their request specifies.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we allow the planning board to utilize Christine Fillmore for up to 2 hours of meeting time and any added expenses. I think that's all right for discussion on clarification of ordinances. Do I have a second? Tom, second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries. Chief, do you have something?
Yeah, question regarding the ordinance. I had a late call this afternoon from a gentleman, contractor building a house on Steel Hill Road, and he was talking that they're going to put a small, residential array on the property, and so I directed him to the town's website for the ordinance. He said he couldn't find it. I couldn't find it either. Is it on? Is it somewhere hidden in the website, or did it not get put on yet?
The zoning ordinance?
The ordinance for solar.
It would be within the town zoning ordinance itself.
Yeah, so it's not a separate ordinance. It's in the zoning ordinances because it's now a zoning ordinance.
Okay, well, that may want to, because people aren't real clear on that, ones that are looking for that specific. So I don't know how we want to do that. I know any calls I'll take, I'll reference them to that ordinance, but we may want to maybe put a banner or something on there.
Well, there should be in the front of that, in the index, to reference the page that the solar ordinance is on. If that's not the case, then I would recommend that, who puts that up, Katie?
The planning board, yeah.
I would recommend someone from the planning board possibly
get
on there.
I guess I would say just until the thing gets rolling, people get used to where it is.
Right, well, so, and there was a couple other issues in the past when we've had other issues with, the power issues, not unrelated to solar or whatever. So if you go within the zoning ordinance, which is where it belongs, and there's something on the index to say what page you go to, you can go to the side of the page and enter that page number and it'll come to it.
So it is in the, that's been updated on the website?
Okay. I believe so.
It's supposed to have been, yeah.
No. You just looked it up, I guess it's not.
So the planning board will need to have the planning assistant, I know that he was working on that and was supposed to have updated it, so they might need to remind them that needs to be updated. But it's confusing because it's referred to as solar ordinance, but really it's voted on as an amendment to the zoning ordinance. Right. When I'm going to send out an email tonight letting the recording secretary and the planning board assistant know about the board's decision. And I'll mention in there that the zoning ordinance needs to be updated as soon as possible.
Yeah, and
I was under the impression that I already had been.
Yeah, and if possible, Katie, because it's an amendment and it's a question of people, if we can have it in the index as to what page it's on.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
I mean, that's how it should be anyways, because it's in addition to it. Do we have any of the business?
No.
I know Dawn was having a little bit of problem with updating stuff on the website too.
Yeah.
So
it's going to take some getting used to. It's trial and error.
Yeah, there's going to be a learning curve there.
So we're going on to other business. We have correspondence to the board regarding tax map 10, lot 79.
So there's a copy in your packet of a letter you received. We'll give you a chance to read it over.
Comments?
I've read it before.
Comment?
He's already read it. Do you have any comments?
Oh. Yeah, I just read it. Is that the file?
Yeah, there's...
This is my file.
There are a couple of inaccuracies in the letter that I noted when I first... there was a couple of... When they came, there was a couple of workarounds that were talked about during the discussion with the Grant family, and they don't seem to have gotten the idea that there's nothing there that we can do.
Right.
There is no ordinance that we can do, and if they expect us to do an ordinance, then it's not going to happen, I believe. What they need to do is, as far as I can see, is they need to write an ordinance, bring it to the floor of the town meeting, and have it voted on.
So the suggestion that we made to the Grant family when they were here was to bring it to the planning board so that they can present it to and have the public hearings as such, and that's the process that is followed to make a change, to make a difference, to make an addition, or any kind of amendment to our zoning ordinance. It goes to the planning board, they make an appointment with the planning board, and then they go in front of them, and then the planning board either adds, subtracts, multiplies, divides, whatever, how they fix it. Maybe they like it the way it's written. They have to have a public hearing, and then it goes on the ballot. So as far as the correspondence that we received, the only thing that I'd like to say is that I commend the 13 people that signed this to bring it to the board's attention that there are some level of concern within our town. But I do find it to be multiple broad statements and several inaccuracies in the correspondence that we received. I also understand that this has been published on the private Facebook pages of others. I've received several phone calls, and just wanted to note for the board that there is nothing that the board can do. We did offer the Grant family some suggested resolutions, and the town can't support those one way or the other, because if there's nothing in the ordinance, we can't enforce it. That the references to the zoning enforcement officer within this letter, I took offense to, because there is a job description that is published. It is recently reviewed, and it was recently approved and adopted, and it follows the organization chart. In addition to it would be my personal opinion that the complaint that came in had cited the wrong zoning ordinances and our planning assistant, or zoning enforcement officer, I'm sorry, did the review of the complaint nonetheless. So the process was followed. There is nothing that the Board of Selectmen can do, but there is recourse to that family that the board cannot direct, you know, support, because it's a civil issue. It is a civil matter. So there is, like I said, there's a job description that was followed. There was a process that's in place for the town that was followed. And the number of phone calls that I have received regarding that, it's my understanding that the grants were asking for a violation of a section in the ordinance that wasn't the permitted use of the resident that has it.
That's what they quoted.
And also that it wasn't a faulty investigation, it was a thorough investigation that technically didn't need to take place, because the complaint that came in cited one ordinance that was not the permitted use of the property that was they were complaining about. And I would only ask one question, that if these 13 people or anybody else in town, would it be okay if your neighbor complained to the Board of Selectmen about something that you were doing on your property, and the Board of Selectmen took action to enforce something that they had no authority over and or told you what you could do on your property, especially given that the permit that you had was what you were actually doing, but we enforced it anyways, would we have any authority over that? And would that be okay? So there isn't anything that the board can do. The grants were given. They were treated with dignity and respect. We heard them out. We reviewed their complaint. It was investigated. And as far as the board is concerned, we had made a decision to support the review of the complaint that came in.
Is there anybody in the audience who was a signee to this or a drafter of this?
I actually, point of order, no offense, but the complainant may be present, but the people that are being complained about are not present. So if there's any discussion that will be taking place, it would be to make an appointment with all the parties involved. So
I didn't come to make comment tonight because I was aware
that's fine.
Of that concern.
No, I just wanted to know if anybody was here.
That's fine.
If anybody...
And I'm assuming there are people here, but like I said, it would be inappropriate and out of order to have a conversation behind someone's back.
Yeah, without the Dicks. And I would say not only to have the Grant family here, but also to have the other family that's being complained about.
Right, and both because of them here. And because it's outside the scope and purview of the Board of Selectmen, we did treat them fairly. There was no mistreatment. There were suggestions that were given. The process was followed. The zoning enforcement officer is capable at doing his job. There is a job description that he did follow, and the process was followed.
So this was submitted to the board with the request to meet with the board to present the letter and discuss it. I don't know what your pleasure is on that. It sounds like you'd want to obviously invite the property owners as well.
In any land use situations, any zoning or planning issues, when you put a application in, you must invite all of your abutters. So you bring that information forward as well. So tonight we are receiving a correspondence. What is the board's pleasure as far as moving forward with it? We've already determined that it's not something that we can handle, so do we want to entertain that at a later date?
Well, I appreciate your viewpoints about this particular letter. Just speaking for myself only, I'll say it publicly for the minutes and whoever, I think that I personally did a very poor job in dealing with the grants when they came in. And I thought my response to them could have been a lot better, somewhat more supportive to them. I think a couple of problems that I think we all run into is that when someone comes in like that with information, you're kind of caught off guard because you don't see the material ahead of time, have a chance to think about it, or have a chance to review it. And I think if they came in and spoke with us, which they did, and we said, well, we'll discuss it the following week after having an opportunity to read it, you know, our response might have been a little more different. So it's difficult when people come in and you get presented with something and you're trying to react to that. And if you had a chance to think about it, you might look at it differently. So at least for myself, I thought I did a very poor job with that. And the only thing that I thought of in terms of some alternatives is that, number one, I think John had suggested when this came up that he took a ride up there. There's nothing wrong, for example, with a selectman reaching out to people and talking to the grants as well as the neighbors to see if they would voluntarily do something to mitigate the problem.
But that is not within the scope and the purview of the Board of Selectmen.
The selectmen can talk to anybody in town.
Yeah,
basically.
They can. But they can't act on the selectmen's behalf.
The other question I have is that in terms of appeals, my understanding is that if they feel they're appealing a decision, I think normally, correct me if I'm wrong, is that that type of appeal is an administrative appeal and that should go to the ZBA for a decision?
Nope. Does not, because it's not, has nothing to do with a site plan. Has nothing to do with anything other than it's just a complaint about...
An administrative decision can be appealed to the ZBA. Isn't that correct?
If it was a site plan and an application in front of the planning board that they needed a variance or some other zoning board of adjustment issue. If they went to the zoning board of adjustment and they weren't happy with that decision, the appeal comes to the Board of Selectmen. If they're not happy with the Board of Selectmen's decision, then it goes to the Superior Court.
So I guess my question is that to both of you, neither one of you feel that the grant situation warrants a further review by somebody satisfied with the response that we've given them? You both feel the same way? I mean,
the complaint that came to us was for something other than the permitted use of the property that's their neighbor. And it's not the selectman's job to get involved with the neighbor dispute. And I learned that from you, Mr. Selectman.
Yeah, but also when a neighbor has a dispute, it's fine. And I think it's part of the selectman's job, outside of rules and regulations and so forth, to make the effort to try to get parties together to work out an issue. I think that's appropriate. If people have disputes, it's okay to try to help to resolve them on a voluntary basis, even though you have maybe no legal standing to do so or take people to court. I think, you know, I try to get people to work together. But I think that's should be an appropriate role of the selectman. So I don't know. I just personally feel things the way they have been left with them, I feel uncomfortable, and I don't know what to suggest as an alternative. Okay, but it's a very uncomfortable feeling, and I think I would feel more comfortable if we could have someone take a look at least their information and, concur with the board or suggest maybe there be some measures, looked at. So
the complaint that came in...
The
complaint that came in was to complain about a level one home business, and that's not the permitted use that the neighbor has for that greenhouse or any of that stuff.
Was there a site plan for that property?
Didn't need one. It was just a building. It was a
building. It's a commercial enterprise.
It's not a commercial enterprise. Huh? It's not.
It's a level one home occupation.
It is not. That is not the permitted use. The permitted use was in general residential district, and it is a permitted use of the when they came in for the CZZ, all right, the permitted use falls under the
so within the residential district allowable uses, it references a portion of the agricultural district, and it says in there that you can raise animals and conduct enterprise, and so the residential district which that property is zoned in, references agricultural, and that's the permitted use.
My question, Katie, maybe you can answer it, is that what they presented in terms of what they saw in the documentation they had as a zoning violation, that didn't come up to the standard of a review in terms of the material they presented.
So what
they saw it as a zoning violation.
But the zoning violation that they're asking us to find a violation of is Article 4S, page 4.32 and 4.33, which is that's a level one home business. Well, that's not what the permitted use was for.
They're trying to say that
in terms of what the material that he walked in with in his hand, that he referenced in terms of their viewpoint as to a zoning violation, what he presented didn't rise to a level of legitimate argument on their behalf, or because he had a bunch of material.
Right, but there was a review that was done by the zoning enforcement officer.
Right, I think regardless of what's presented, it's a permitted use on the under the ordinance as it stands. So, unfortunately, the board can't enforce section of the ordinance that's not there. So the options are to either have them resolve it amongst themselves or go to the planning board and request a change to the ordinance, because it is quite generic. But as it stands now, that doesn't leave you with a lot of options.
So in a general residential district, okay, it shall be mainly a district of farms and dwellings. All specified uses in Article 5, paragraphs 2, 3, and 4 shall be permitted within this district. Article 5, section 4 reads, general farming, including horticulture, dairy, and livestock, and poultry raising, and other agricultural enterprises or uses, or raising of animals or other purposes are permitted in this district. That's what they got a permit for. So they were permitted for this. The complaint was against a different section of the zoning ordinance. Nonetheless, we still did a review. Our zoning enforcement officer went out and did a review.
And they were trying to say that it was a level one, and
but and that's not the permitted use.
They've never gone before the planning board to get a level one.
No.
So there is not a level one.
No, it was just it was for a greenhouse. The dimensions are here. They were given a building permit, and I guess the other question would be, this is a two-year-old permit, so has something changed in the last 2 years?
But it's a commercial enterprise.
It's not a commercial enterprise.
I don't think they're selling
it is
their
a resident. Even if they are, it's a permitted use.
It doesn't matter if they're selling it.
Nope, I live in a residential district. I can sell my vegetables at the bottom of my driveway.
Somebody could put a pig farm in their backyard, and it would meet the standard and sell the pigs.
Yep.
They may be making money off it, but it meets the the standard of that zoning.
Yeah.
You know, the zoning needs to either be expanded upon the ordinance itself to encompass some of these issues. But you know, I've said this from day one that I've been here in San Bernardino. You know, it used to be the Wild Wild West. We aren't able to pass a noise ordinance in town because people don't want to be told what to do on their property. So that's where we're at. Now we're seeing a different demographic move into town, which expects a different level. So it's growing pains that San Bernardino is going to have to go through.
Absolutely.
To make these adjustments.
And the suggestion was made to the family that made the complaint, because of the hands that are tied here at this table, we can't enforce something that's not in the ordinance. The people that have the permit are using their land for the permitted use in which they received the permit from.
What about the light that they spoke about? And that's all I'm going to say, the lights in the greenhouse.
I don't understand what the question is.
The glare that comes from the lights from the greenhouse.
So
the grant spoke about that specifically.
Okay, so the grant's complaint actually was originally for the concern that they had for the saleability value of their property, which is subjective because there's no documentation to say otherwise. But in the review that our zoning enforcement officer did, he addressed that the glare, and it was consistent with the state statute. State statute is for glare. It means direct light emitting from a luminary that is significantly greater than the luminance to which the eyes are adapted, which causes reduced vision or momentary blindness. That's the state statute.
Well, however, though, I think the review determined that any reference to glare in the zoning ordinance as it stands now is only within site plan review.
That's correct.
Regulations, which this particular, because it's a permitted use, isn't subject to site plan review.
That's right.
So that's
the other hands tied, because it's not a site plan review. It wasn't a site plan. It was a building that was erected. It was a building permit, so they went through the building permit process. So it's a different process. So they didn't come up with a site plan and say this, so you can't violate them for something that's not the permitted use. Unless there's other documentation that shows otherwise, they are using the property for the permitted use that was granted. In the complaint that was filed, it cited a different section of the zoning ordinance that we can't plug and play to a property when that's not what... So in order to have a zoning violation, if they were violating the permitted use that they were permitted to use it for, that there was a violation, then we could enforce it. But if they're using it for the permitted use and someone's suggesting it's not being used for, that it's being used for something else, there's nothing that we can do to enforce it because the permitted use is what's being used, it's used for. Chief?
Yeah, I'd add an example, as Katie said, that all that is part of the site plan review. Well, residential homes in San Francisco are not obligated to go through site plan review. So when you have a residential home, there are a lot of things that aren't, you know, I could put a light on every corner of my house that lights up the entire area and be within the zoning the way it's written and be able to do that. So because there's no site plan review for single family residential homes.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Just can all see it right from there, right? It's horrendous. It's totally different than a light bulb, really.
It would be no different than not having a noise ordinance in town and my neighbors blasting their music hours on day at the end of the day, and there's nothing I can do about it. I would have to sue them.
Right. It's a civil, and that makes it a civil issue.
Sadly. I know that's not right. The answer people want to hear, but...
But there is nothing in Section S of the zoning ordinance, Article 4, Section S, home occupation. It says, an accessory use of a dwelling unit for a business which results in a product or service.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with what permitted use is in that district. They are growing and selling vegetables and herbs.
But that's what the, and I didn't get your name.
Jim Dick.
Nice to meet you. In their original certificate of zoning compliance, they articulated that they were going to be growing lettuce and herbs for sale. So,
which by definition of the zoning ordinance is a home level one home occupation.
So the certificate of zoning compliance that was issued was for the greenhouse to grow lettuce and herbs for sale, which I can do on my property. I'm in a general residential district. The size of the greenhouse and whatever solar panels are alleged to be there does not make it a commercial business.
If I act as a consultant out of my home, I technically fall under level one home occupation because I am providing a service in my home as an accessory use of my residence. That's the point. It's not, there's nothing about level one home occupation that is specific to the type of activity that the homeowner is performing. Yes, farming is allowed in a residential district, but selling it becomes a level one home occupation, and that's the fault.
Not necessarily. It's been done in this town since I've been here.
What's been done and what's in the ordinance may be two very different things.
But you're citing the ordinance that's different than what the permitted use was for, is what I'm trying to explain.
At the time, the zoning administrator felt that it did not meet the level of home occupation.
Who was also the town planner at the time as well.
Correct.
This was a prior employee who actually was in both positions.
Can I make a suggestion? I don't know if you guys would be agreeable to it or not. I kind of, on a personal level, I thought the grants had a legitimate argument.
For
from their viewpoint. And I don't know whether the board would be agreeable to take all the documentation, maybe ask the ZBA to review the case, review the issue, and see what they think.
It does not fall under the ZBA's purview.
We can ask them to do that.
It does not fall under the ZBA's purview.
It's not what?
It does not fall under the Zoning Board of Adjustments purview. This is a building, we're talking about like a building permit, like a certificate of zoning compliance. It's not a site plan review. It is not a
variance.
It's not any of those things.
Ask the planning board to review it.
So we've asked the grants to go to the planning board so that they can voice their concerns about the ordinance.
We can refer the issue to the planning board and ask them to review it.
Review that ordinance?
Review the ordinance and review the situation and see what they think.
But they don't need to go to the planning board in order to get a certificate of zoning compliance.
They can go to we can recommend that the planning board review the case for advice and consultation. And as far as what you were saying, if someone was blaring their lights at 11 o'clock at night, there is a noise ordinance in town.
No.
Well,
we don't have a noise
there is a fireworks ordinance in town. You can't have noise after 9:30.
Fireworks.
That's still noise, so...
Right, it's...
But it's different, though. We've tried to take the noise ordinance to town meeting four
or
5 years in a row.
The only thing I'm trying to say is that I understand the different dynamics and viewpoints. I think that... I just personally feel that, at least from my viewpoint, my response and how they were treated could have been better. And how
they
do we go...
Can you explain to me how they were ill-treated?
I thought we could have done a little better job in addressing their concerns. I think they went away really feeling that we weren't very either sympathetic or helpful to them. So
22 years ago, when I moved to town,
you may see it differently.
Selectman,
that's fine.
I sat in that chair, and nothing could be done from this table. So I had to go to court with my neighbor. That's what there was nothing that you could do.
We have a difference of opinion.
I get that, but so now all the laws and rules have been 22 years reviewed and updated, and it's even more stringent. So
okay, what do you want to do with this? What do you guys want to do? Nothing.
There's nothing that we can do. Our hands are tied.
I sort of feel like Tom, and I feel bad for the people. But if there's nothing, we could have them in, we could listen to them again, but it would wind up being exactly the same thing because there's nothing we could do.
There is a glare coming from the building. That's their biggest complaint. So maybe they wrote it up wrong, but I think that if the board had spoke to them more in depth, I mean, would you like to see this picture? I was there, and this picture was taken at 7:45 at night. Now, the lights only stay on from 7:30 to 8 now because, obviously, it's more daylight. In the wintertime, the lights come on earlier. Imagine with the snow. Can I just show you the glare, okay? This is the building. I am standing inside their dining room looking out their big picture window that they have. Can you see the glare on the ground from that light? Can you imagine if the snow was there, what that would do? That's on the ground, that glare on that building. I think that the board needed to look at this and maybe ask the zoning officer to go out there and go into their home and see what they look at and see the glare that comes from there. This is a greenhouse that is able to put shades up to block that light from coming out, which actually is better for the plants to keep the light in instead of the light coming out. I think that is the concern. It isn't about the greenhouse. That's not what it's about. So maybe they worded that wrong or filled out the paperwork wrong. But I think that as the board, I felt that there was something more that you could have done as the board, and
it's a neighborhood dispute is what it comes down to, and it's a civil issue, and if we get involved under statute, we become liable for that.
I think the point is that even if there is a glare, as it stands now, the board
there's nothing in the
couldn't
ordinance.
Enforce it. Even if it was determined that there was a glare, it's not enforceable by this board at this point based
okay,
on the
ordinance. Okay, well, I didn't bring all my papers because I didn't think we were going to be heard, but I'm pretty sure that in the site plan and there is something in there about glare.
But this is not a site plan. This is a zoning, a CZC. It's a certificate of zoning compliance. It was like a building permit to build a greenhouse. That's all. It was not a site plan.
We can't hold them to site plan regulations because they never put one in. They never came to a site plan. So it was never a site plan issued. That would be like saying that in your house you can't have any outside lights on. Now, I offered a solution to them, and he kind of kicked it back in my face. I said, what about building a fence? Or even better yet, talking to the neighbors, an even more aesthetic thing would be plant arborvitaes between the right along next to the...
The light is bright.
And that would block the light.
The light is bright.
But regardless of this specific issue...
You're doing the same thing he did. I'm offering a solution, and you're saying, oh, there is no solution. You're telling me the same thing?
A solution that I see is to put shades on the greenhouse so the light does not come out. It does not illuminate out. That would be a solution.
And who's going to pay for these? The town?
Well, I would think that the guy that owns the greenhouse.
Okay. Well, and how would we enforce that?
So again, regardless of this specific case, and this is a very distinct thing, and there are obviously a lot of opinions about it, but it goes back to the fact that I believe the town needs to have the planning board take a very hard look at Article 4, Section S, and either apply the Level 1 home occupation as written, not regardless of how it had been interpreted in the past, who approved what, but what's in black and white, what is in the approved ordinance for the town, needs to be applied or not. If it's not going to be applied, then it needs to be removed. And if that gets applied per the letter of the law, it changes the outcome of decisions and conversations like this one about this particular greenhouse. And I don't want to get into the individuals. That's not the point.
Right. So, and like I said before, it's unfortunate, but it's not how they fill the paperwork out. It's the regulation that you're citing is not the permitted use that they applied for. The permitted
it doesn't matter
use
what
they applied.
They should have applied for a level one home occupation.
So it went through the proper offices, the proper process. Everything was followed. It was all signed off on 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
By the letter of the ordinance, it did not meet the threshold for home occupation.
Producing a good or certain service or product.
No, because it's agriculture, and because the entire town has been ag, there is multiple types of properties in town that are doing just the same exact thing. Now, even if the ordinance does change, that property can't be obligated to change because they've already been approved.
Yeah,
so going forward, things can be improved.
But even if that section of the ordinance changed, that's not the one that was permitted this use. They got the permit to build a greenhouse, and they gave the sizes, dimensions, and they met all the setbacks. The zoning officer at the time went out and spoke with them. They did the drawing. They had everything. All their I's were dotted, T's were crossed, and he approved it. So it was already reviewed then, and it was re-reviewed when this complaint came in.
But once they got the permit to have a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, you've been on the planning board. Once they change the use of their property to, you're going to disagree with this, to a commercial operation, wouldn't that trigger them having to come in for a site plan?
What makes it commercial?
This
They're selling the place.
They're selling, aren't they in business selling products up there?
Heritage Fireworks.
So, right.
Huh?
Abbott's.
Yeah, then you're gonna, in that case, you're
throughout
gonna,
the town.
This half is, of the town is gonna have to come in and put in site plans.
Right.
Yeah. You know, level one doesn't require a site plan, it just requires being registered
yeah.
with
and
the
half
town.
Of the town is gonna have to come in and put in new site, put in site plans.
Okay. But that's not a justification for not enforcing an ordinance. So that's a justification for proposing through
but we
the
can't
board
enforce that,
that
ordinance because that's not the ordinance in which this was permitted use. That's the difference. They applied, they were approved through the process that was followed through the general agricultural zone, and it is a permitted use of that property in that zone. They didn't apply for a level one home business. There's no violation under that part of it because that's under the site plan regulations. They didn't need a site plan for this greenhouse that they applied for. It's unfortunate, but there's nothing that the board can do. It becomes a civil issue.
So because they didn't have a site plan, they don't fall under the glare section of a site plan, and so the board says, well, because they didn't have a site plan, we're not going to deal with this.
We didn't say we're not going to deal with it because that's what was being said. We have dealt with it, and we have listened to everyone's concerns. Unfortunately, our hands are tied. That's the way the law... I took an oath. As you did as an appointed official, to uphold the laws, the rules, and regulations of the state of New Hampshire and the Constitution, so help me God. I can only enforce what is before me and what is in the scope and purview of my power as a select board member. And that is what I can enforce. And if the ordinance says thus and so, I can only enforce thus and so because that over there is not thus and so. That's the difference, unfortunately. That's the way the process works. Do we have any other discussion?
No, as a human being, I feel sorry for them. But I wish there was something we could do.
You could refer the issue to the planning board for consultation on this.
We can't tell the planning board under statute what to do.
Huh?
We can't tell the planning board under statute what to do.
I didn't say that. I said we can refer our request to the planning board. We can ask them for a consultation or a view of the issue. That's perfectly fine.
As the Board of Selectmen representative to the planning board, did you want to ask them if they could take a look at the section of the ordinance to see if it's...
Yeah, I've already
got nice to get another opinion.
I've already got a couple things down here having to do with that, and number one is to get a really good definition of level one ordinance and see if they... I know that in discussions that we've had about this, they tell me that they were the ones who sent them to the select board. So it sounds like they've already talked with the people about it once.
Okay.
So, but I mean... I will talk to the planning board and see if they would be willing to talk to them again and see if there was any remedy that they could come up with or any, and even if there is a remedy that the planning board can come up with, that remedy, the planning board cannot enforce that remedy because they are not an enforcement agency. That remedy would have to come back to this board for enforcement. And I don't know what it would come back as, but I will talk to the planning board.
At least you would know if there is a remedy or not.
Yeah. I will talk to the planning board at the next meeting and find out if there's any kind of a remedy.
So some of this discussion, Katie, agreeable to have John discuss it with the planning board as he just mentioned?
Yeah.
I will do that.
Thank you. Moving on. Contract agreement for Lowell Bay Road state portion reconstruction.
So, the Lower Bay Road reconstruction, the state-owned portion, was approved at town meeting. The bid was awarded prior to town meeting, pending town meeting approval, with the DOT's approval of the bid and the contractor. The bond application is out. They've put out the RFP seeking our funding for it. The next step is actually entering into your contract with the actual contractor for the work. What Tolan Engineering is facilitating, and they've asked for the discussion to be had. The contract was actually part of the original bid documents that were put out when the RFP was put out for the construction. So I just printed up that section for you so you can take time to review it if you'd like to look it back over again. Essentially, once you enter into the contract, they can start work once it's been executed. So you want to have the discussion, decide at what point do you want to sign the contract and have the work commence. Funding is obviously July 1st. I know that there are some concerns about the holiday and trying to get the work done in time for September, what have you. So I don't know if the board wants to review the contract and think about the timing and talk about it maybe next week, or if you...
Is this the same contract that we were given with the initial documentation for the project?
Yes, and this is the contract that was... It's within the bid documents that were put out to bid that was approved by DOT. It's the same contract. I just printed it off from that section.
Yeah, probably the copy of that.
Yeah. It's lengthy, mostly because it has the last section.
We actually made some changes, and when we were in Concord, I asked some questions.
It's all set.
Yeah.
Right. The supplemental conditions of the second page what makes it a little bit longer.
I don't know. Do you have the original, Katie? And it needs to be notarized. Right.
Sorry, are we signing this, Katie, or we got to sign the original?
Well, this is the, you would sign this, but keep in mind, once you sign it, they can start work. So you need to decide when you want to sign it is the first step.
So okay. It would be the last meeting.
What do you recommend?
So it would be the last meeting in June before the July 1st start date, because the funding doesn't start until July 1st.
Well, I know you've looked at it. So the wording in here is okay?
Yes, we've gone through the whole thing a million times, as has the state and the attorney.
And I'll let Holden Engineering know to let the contractor know, because they're trying to schedule with their subcontractors the timing. I think ideally they would like to start in June, but we've made clear since the beginning that July 1st is when the funding comes through in the fiscal year. And so you'll sign last meeting in June?
Meeting in June. Yeah. Before July 1st.
Yeah, I'd like to get this signed as soon as possible. Every time I go out that way, I hear from my wife, when are those damn selectmen going to fix this road?
July 1st, that's when the people said they could fix it.
And that happens about four times a week.
We get authorization at town meeting for July 1st. Yeah. That is all the selectmen can authorize.
My next door neighbor was asking me about it yesterday, too, so... Wondering
that's just the state. This is the state-owned portion. That's not the rest of it.
Yeah, no, he was asking me about the state-owned portion.
Okay, Eversource petition for pole license.
So in your packet, you'll see that the highway director has provided a recommendation to approve the license. And also, I've drafted up the actual license with our information at the back of that section.
Does Kay need these for that?
No, that's yours. So does Mala have to sign this? It looks like there's a section for...
I think that's, after the fact, after the board signs and approves, the final step is she would sign.
And he didn't have any problem with the replacement of that pole in the same vicinity and location? Did you have that concern?
Yeah, I had that concern last time, but because it was awfully close.
He went in the field, and he said that it's actually set back pretty far. He didn't know if maybe you were thinking of one that was up closer, because this is the... This is the intersection right here with the bridge, and this is back past that driveway, past the commercial operation.
Yeah, I know. Because there's a house right here.
But he felt that it was back sufficiently, because he knew that was a concern, so he did look at that, but felt that it was far enough off to not be an issue.
I just don't want to be the one that has to explain to the guy with a crunched bumper.
And he also said he would follow up and make sure that the pole that it's replacing gets removed once it's been installed as well, that it's just not left there.
So under the first paragraph, there's two blanks, well, three blanks actually. It says the maximum minimum height of the structure shall be blank and feet shall be blank feet respectively. Conduit shall be buried in the depth of at least blank feet. Shouldn't those be filled in?
So that's what they submitted to the town. The actual town's license, which was adopted by the town, is a little bit different than what they submitted. They say pole license, but it's really, that's their petition.
Okay.
What you would actually be signing is at the back of that, because this was updated in 2015, and it went through a hearing process, and this is legally what the town uses. So they submitted on their own form. This is what actually gets submitted.
Want to have some fun? Put 4 feet, 6 feet in those two places.
It's awful. But then we couldn't sign that one anyways, John. Any other questions?
No.
Do I have a motion?
I would make a motion that we approve and sign the town of Samberton, New Hampshire pole license petition dated 2/20/2018.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All those in favor? Sorry.
Can you just add the pole number to the motion? Is it okay if I add the number?
Pole plan location 41-0628.
Okay. Yep.
That's the plan number. The pole is P8/2 on Bay Road.
P8-2 on Bay Road.
Over here. Okay.
Right up here. Yeah. Okay. My motion still stands.
A second. All right. So any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
Just sign one.
And also, the highway director was asked to follow up with recommendations of the road bond process for timber intents. He has to have a little bit of an extension on that because he's actually reviewing our temporary driveway permit and has some suggestions, but needs some time to work on that. So he'll be coming back at a later date to follow up with those recommendations.
I think he's working on revising it to make it more uniform for driveway permits and for any of the timbers.
I'm just thinking about the people of Samberton, and I'm tired of seeing the road torn up by these logging trucks.
Well, he's going to make it for the temporary driveway permit as well as a driveway permit, so it's going to have some. It's going to be one permit so that there's no loss in sequence.
Yeah, we need something to cover us, and it. When he does it, it should be made not just for logging. It should be broad enough to where when we have other things.
Yeah, no, that's why he's going to make it a more uniform policy for driveways.
So we don't have a thing with the.
Johnny and I are working together to come up with that, plus include 911 readdressing,
That's
so it's all one formal process, because we've had some issues in the past where properties put a driveway in and it moves and it never came, like the one you guys signed last week.
Right.
So there's been some of those that have fallen through the cracks. So Johnny and I have been working on that.
Okay, because, you know, things like the garbage truck issue we had a year or two ago, we should...
You look at as houses are starting to be built and down again, you got concrete trucks coming in, you got tractor trailers bringing in materials, you got all that are really beating the heck out of
you. Got the 18-wheelers going to Steel Hill. Yep.
So, you know. It makes sense to make that approach.
Are you waiting for your signature file item?
We move that up.
Chair, the fire chief is requesting, he has a PAF in the signature file. He's requesting that.
If it's for him, he's going to wait till tomorrow.
No, wait.
For Santa's little boy.
Santa's boy. I don't know who that is.
The son of our Santa Claus in town.
Do we have anything other under other business?
Yes. Just an FYI, the Conservation Commission is having their closing on the land purchase of the Reed property tomorrow. So that's moving forward tomorrow. The Old Town Hall steward met with, is it Getty's Building Movers or Jetty's Building Movers out of Bow to provide a quote to raise the Old Town Hall with a foundation underneath. They're the same company that had did that work for the church in town that raised it.
Both of them.
Yeah. So he met with them, and they're going to be submitting a quote in the near future, at which point the board can review it and discuss if you want to tie that in and wait until you have your concept design, or if you want to move forward with it before then at that point. But you'll at least have the information at that point to look at that. Additionally, he's been working with Ellis Electric on some lighting needs, and they're looking at replacing the LED lights in the Old Town Hall parking lot. And he's just looking for approval to replace the two lights in the labor with LED lights. It's $700 per light for the light and then $300 for the labor, so it's a $1,000 project to be coming from the Capital Reserve Fund.
Is he at the same time going to have them do the outlets that we had talked about?
Yep, they're getting a quote for that, and that would be separate.
Okay.
So that's coming down the pike. But that,
right, so this is for the outside lights, $700 a piece and $300 for labor?
Yeah, so looking at $1,000 for that project.
Do I have a motion?
So move.
Tom, we're voting on the Old Town Hall. Old Town Hall Stewart recommended redoing the lighting outside to LED and labor for $1,000.
And did you want the funding to come from the Old Town Hall Capital Reserve Fund?
And the funding to come from the Old Town Hall Capital Reserve Fund. Is that your second?
Second.
Tom will second that. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
Okay. I wanted to bring to the board's attention that the security cameras have been installed.
We should all wave
to the camera. There's also two in the lobby. And the police department has the credentials to log in, so if there were ever any kind of incident, they have access to the recording for that. And we have a sticker on the door, and also there's a sticker up there notifying that there are cameras in place for security purposes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I go to the bank, I yell out, I said, that's the only time I'm on TV. I wave and...
You're 15 minutes.
And still no one asked for your autograph, Tom.
Tell the president to get one away.
Nobody's really watching you, Tom.
Is it just video or video and audio?
Video.
Just video.
Yeah.
Okay. When's that on all the time?
It's motion activated.
Huh?
Motion activated.
So it holds more in the DVR. Like mine holds like... I've got like 3.5 months right now because it's motion activated. It's pretty much the same system at my house.
Yeah, so if everybody sits still, the camera will turn off.
Actually, as long as there's lights on in here, it'll stay on. My light
stays
on.
Motion.
Doesn't matter. It triggers the infrared camera. It's clear.
You want to take care of the chief before we go into non-public?
Yeah, chief has a signature in the... A PF and a signature file he wants to do before we go into non-public. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right.
Because if we're not kind, he's going to go in and eat all of
the candy
in there.
I'll have to deal with Peggy.
Yeah.
There might be some birthday cake in the fridge.
Yeah, I need that like a little bit.
I need a motion to sign it. So this is just for the so I'll make a motion that we sign the PAF for John Kelly for the fire department for his completion of his requirements for per diem firefighter EMT moving to labor grade 10, step 1, starting April 22nd, 2018. Do I have a second?
Fine.
Tom seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries.
I thought I did something wrong. I wasn't worried about you. I thought I did something wrong.
You're gonna find out if you will.
Yep.
I can't find it. Email my wife.
Forgot the S.
Elvis has left the building.
I would recommend doing L first.
Okay.
You coming back?
No.
Nothing on there? Exciting? How's your husband doing?
So that's it. Not
his surgery's
session,
on
right?
The 18th.
Going in, yeah. Non-public.
His actually surgery on the 18th.
He had it, right?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought he already...
No, I wish. May 18th.
Have a nice evening.
Do you want to give me the form, Kate?
Watch Mr. Dick in a good mood.
All right, so we're going into non-public session under RSA 91A:32L. Consideration of legal advice provided by legal counsel, either in writing or orally, to one or more members of the public body, even where legal counsel is not present. Selectman present, Tom Salatello.
Yeah.
John Olmsted.
Here.
Katie North, here. Motion made to enter non-public session by?
Olmsted.
Seconded by?
Yeah.
Roll call vote to enter non-public session, Salatello. Olmsted.
Yes.
North, yes.
6:23.
Public meeting tape removed, enter non-public.